You're listening to South Florida's Good News Station, WCNO, Palm City.
This is God's plan for redemption, and it's good news.
Today's broadcast is supported by Plains Dental Arts in Vero Beach and Port St. Lucie. Thanks to Dr. Alex Plain at Plains Dental Arts for keeping New Day with Red Palmer on the air daily at WCNO 89.9 FM.
Odd ducks like myself.
Yeah. Well,
I don't. You seem to find them, don't you?
I think we're all odd.
If you're an odd duck and you need a good pastor,
yeah,
small church, but, you'll be noticed.
I've really come to appreciate what it means to have a church family. When we got married, both of our parents moved out of Florida. In fact, even our brothers moved out of Florida. We felt like we were the last of the Mohicans. Almost all sides of the family all kind of moved out, so we're pretty much here on our own in Vero. And as we've taken in these children and we've been blessed to adopt not just this boy and girl, but these two other sisters as well.
Last week.
This week. This a few week. Days ago. Yeah.
That's right.
That is just hot off the presses, right?
Yeah. And now you have a family of four. And the nice thing about adoption as opposed to fostering, now you can take the children out of the state without getting permission from the government and go visit your dad, who's a retired doctor, and your mother up in the Carolinas.
Georgia, and then her family's in Carolinas. Yeah, but I think of it as when you have a church family. I have all these aunts and uncles who are just people who go to church with us. People who want to see these kids know Jesus, and I'm like, I am in awe that the family of God does this for others. And so I also have to say that if you give your life to the Lord, get involved in a Bible-believing church, get involved in a church family, and you will be so blessed by it. And the Lord, he say that you should do life as a Christian alone. He also says that you should not neglect the fellowship of the saints. We are called to gather together. In fact, you know what the Greek word is for church?
What?
Ecclesia.
Ecclesia, as in Ecclesiastes?
Right.
And what does it mean?
It's two kind of word. It's not two words put together, but the word ek means out, like out of something, like you were born out of this, right?
Ek.
So ek is out of.
Out of.
And klesia.
Klesia.
Means to be called out. So the called ones that you and
called
I,
out.
We were called out of the world and into a faith in Christ. That's the called out ones.
So that's why Jesus told me, he said, you did not call me, I called you.
Yeah. And my sheep know
my
voice.
That's for all of us.
Right? So the church is not a building. It's the called out people. And so you can't do your Christian life by yourself. I know a lot of people say, yeah, I got a relationship with God. I got my Bible.
I got wounded in church.
And I understand.
I don't get anything out of church. I told a friend of mine, beautiful family. Oh, I don't get anything out of church. I said, hey. I said, Josh, it's not about what you get. Maybe some lady sitting next to you who just lost her entire family in a car accident this week. Yeah. It's about the give.
Yeah.
And as you said earlier, community.
Yep, yep. So it all blends together.
So say that again, ecclesia. Ecclesia.
Ek and klesia.
Out.
Out and called. So we were the called out ones, and we were put together by God to be together and not neglect the fellowship of the saints. And for people who say, I don't need the church, I can do God on my own, and I got my Bible, it sounds like you haven't been reading your Bible, because the Bible says, do not neglect the fellowship of the saints. And let me tell you.
Do not neglect the fellowship of the saints.
Yeah.
And if you're born again, you've become a saint.
Yes, the Spirit of God gives you
a brand new
family. So
we're not sinners anymore, you're a saint that happens to sin.
Martin Luther, a highly respected theologian, one of the earliest reformers, said that we were simul just e peccator, or justus e peccator. We are both saint and sinner, but we are a saint. We are still a sinner. In heaven, no more sin. But until then, we have this kind of duality there, only in the sense of we're just not perfect yet.
When Jesus said, Father, I will not lose one that you have given me. Now, I
John
always
6,
thought that was all of us, but then again, now I think he was talking about the disciples. Was he referring to you and I too, and all the regular folks like you and I who are listening to this broadcast?
John chapter 6, verse 36 says, all the Father has placed into my hand, I will not let them go. Romans 8, chapters verses 28 to 38 says that nothing can separate us from the love of God, nor heights, nor depths, nor principalities.
Of light
nothing,
and darkness.
No. Nothing can separate us from him. That type of...
So it's commitment. It's marriage, real marriage.
Real marriage.
Where divorce does not exist.
Right. I've always shown this example the way, and maybe on video here, but the Roman handshake always looked like this. You know, today when I do a deal with you, I shake hands like this.
Yep.
And it's easy for me to let go, and as soon as I let go, you're let go. Yep. The way we relate to God in the spirit of adoption is even when I let go, and maybe I fall off track, maybe I backslide into some sin, does God let go of me? No. And so I can repent and grasp back on to him. You know, we call this.
But also, I think for a long time I thought maybe you get to a certain place where it's just a loveliness and it's going to be the Garden of Eden, and that's not going to happen while we're here. It is written that Jesus learned obedience by the things which he suffered, and we shall share in his tribulation. And, he was a man well acquainted with many sorrows. And I personally believe the closer you get to God...
Yeah, the more you suffer.
Does anybody out there know about pruning a tree? Okay, if you don't know, I had a friend of mine, and she had groves over in Ocala years ago. And she said, you know, when you own groves, they say in the farming industry, you don't prune your own trees. You ask your neighbor. Because if you've seen a tree pruned properly... you'll go, oh, my God, they killed it. Every branch is cut down to the wire. Yeah. But Jesus said, every tree that beareth fruit shall be pruned back, that it will bear more fruit, some 50, some 100, some 300-fold, or whatever it is. So I don't know what it is about nature and God, but God said, if you bear fruit, if he starts to see goodness in you, be prepared, because you're going to get knocked for a loop. He's going to put more of his character in you, and you are going to learn, and then you're going to bear more fruit.
Yeah.
So we learn obedience by the things which he suffer, and he was a man acquainted with many sorrows. And as I've always said, we don't grow on the mountaintop when we're fat and happy. Do you go, oh, no, it's party, party, party. It's in the valleys. You call, oh, God, help.
Martin Luther King said that when you're in the deepest valleys, when you look up is when the stars look so bright.
When your deepest valley, yes.
You know, and there's a lot of value in that. I love what you shared, you know, what began in a garden, but think about the gospel as ever-expanding good news. What began in a small garden, by the time you get to the book of Revelation, ends in a beautiful, large kingdom. What began in a small tent begins and ends in a huge house.
Look what Noah has put up on the screen. A valley is where the grass is. Not on the rocks at the top.
Yeah, I like that. So it's true.
So we're going to feel those rocks, baby. But it's also in the valley where the rain comes down from the mountain and you eventually have the abundance of green and flowers. And because all of creation shouts out the glory of God. Only the fool has said in his heart that there is no God, right? So now that you have these four adopted children in your house, fully adopted, no longer foster children, do you find, like I think of little Robert or Chloe, I think, I notice when I get around children, I kind of relearn some things I've forgotten. Has that happened to you yet?
Say that one more time.
Well, when you're around children, somehow they remind you maybe something you left behind.
Oh, yeah, the simple pleasures of life. We're like, they're so curious. And I'm like, you know, have we lost our curiosity? And you know, their cares of the world are so much different than ours. And their innocence. We forget our innocence. That's what it is.
I had a little girl come into my mother's house. She opens up the closet, 3 years of age, opens up the closet door in the living room. And she goes, oh, see all the time in the closet. That's poetry. A three-year-old Jennifer, who's probably a 50-year-old woman now, but see all the time in the closet. You know, you got stuff hanging from this, what, and that, and old baseball bats or whatever it might be, or clothing. And it's like, yeah, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, children can be very wise. And don't you think God talks through other people to you? Have you ever seen that?
Oh, it honestly, yeah. I mean, this is how the Holy Spirit works. It's these confirming. Think about Peter and Cornelius. I mean, both given dreams, and they come together, and they realize this is the Lord speaking. A very unique situation. But, you know, how often does words of a faithful brother, even when they hurt, you know, but it confirms maybe words of Scripture that you know, better is a words that might be of rebuke from a friend than it is a kiss from Satan, you know?
Do you know in the old days of old that if you were, I don't know if the right word would be retarded or a little off it or a little odd, okay, you were considered sacred. Like, in other words, if you were, even if you were Jewish and you ended up in the camp of the Philistines and you were this odd kind of, you know, mentally different person, you would not be killed because you were considered sacred and that God speaks through them. You know, you have somebody in your church, we call him Junior, and Junior, he doesn't speak much, and he's very hard. He mumbles a lot, but he's a lovely part of the church, a dark-skinned gentleman who doesn't speak much, but I remember...
Oh, he speaks a lot.
Listen. But when he said, he walked by me one day, we're back in the after a service, and he just happens to walk by me, and he goes, "It's all about me. It's all about me." And I said... Ooh, are you talking to
me? Are you talking to me?
Junior? Yeah. And I swear, I believe.
Words out loud, you know.
He does, and he comes, there's been other situations. He rarely speaks or makes a noise that I can understand through his mumbling. But God speaks through that man.
Yeah.
And he's to be loved and respected and cherished like anybody else in the congregation.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
you tend to pick up people like that. And like,
root for the underdog.
Picked up me. Yeah. He picked up other people. You know, I go, boy, he picks up a lot. Barbara, look at me. Yeah, well, look at you. I never quite fit into the norm. You know,
I had this joke. I said this, I think, 6 months ago. So we have a food pantry. It's every first and third Saturday, I'm really thankful to have it. But we've noticed that at night when we put up these cameras around our church and all that kind of stuff, and part of it is just people drop things off at the doorbell.
Yeah.
And we always have these little stray cats all over our church at night, and you would never see them during the day. They come out at night.
Feral, they call them?
Feral cats, yeah. But, you know, every sports team has a mascot, and I was like, what's the Morningstar mascot? Not the cats.
Wild cats.
The stray cats. But you know what? God takes in the stranger, you know, he does. And he makes us a family, the spirit of adoption, you know.
And,
and
often a wild cat or an animal is fearful and will lash out or bite. But given time, they realize you're not there to harm. And same thing with God. Whoever's listening to this broadcast, God wants to invite you into the family of God. Yeah. Will you accept? But he will not force himself upon you. You wonder why there's evil in the world, because God made a covenant, and God is not a man that he should lie. The covenant is you have free will. So people do things that are the opposite of what God would have done. But in this time period, this envelope, this window of living, in this time, you have free will. You can choose him or not choose him. You can reject him or accept him as your Lord and Savior and become part of the family of Christ. I suggest you make that decision. Now, you have a church. It's called Morningstar.
Morningstar Church.
Sundays at 10 a.m.
Sundays at 10 a.m. And we have our worship service.
Off of Oslo.
Just west of Dixie.
Just a little west of Dixie.
Yeah. All right.
So if somebody needs counseling or something, would you want to give out?